going on?
My guest today is a playwright, a producer, a director, an actor, and so many other areas in relationship to theater and the performing arts. Michael Mitchell from Plainfield, New Jersey. Welcome to the show today, Michael.
Oh man, thanks a lot. You make that sound so good, man. I might need you. I might need you to open up for me, man. That sounds real good. I appreciate the love.
Well, listen, I'm only telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
We can testify to that.
Amen, brother. Praise God. I tell you. Well, you know, Mike, I met you some time ago, and I think it was just by coincidence. I was reading something on Facebook or some other format when you were incarcerated. But the thing that caught my attention about the reading was the fact that you were interested in theater and that you lived in Plainfield, New Jersey, the place where I was living at the time. So, of course, that caught my attention. And I reached out to you and we had a few words of exchange. And when you got out, I contacted you again, and we were able to do a broadcast when you came out of prison.
Yes, appreciate you.
Yeah.
That was powerful. That meant a lot to me. That did a lot for my spirit, you know.
Well, I'm glad, man. But let me say, man, from the time I first talked to you up until now, you have traveled and made a lot of progress to, and you know, it's because of that that I wanted to bring you back on the show.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey. There's been ups and downs, but we just focus on the ups and keep it moving, you know.
That's great. Tell me, man, what were you doing in prison in terms of your inner man, your thought processes that brought you to where you are today? I know where you are today had a lot to do with your thought process when you were in prison. Tell me what you were thinking about in prison that landed you to where you are today.
I promise you, in prison, I was visualizing. Before I got to visualizing, I was just reading. I got a itch for history once I started finding out some of our history that I never knew. And I was just reading and visualizing what it is that I wanted to do when I get out. Yeah. And it's a technique that I learned while in prison.
Okay.
And so this is still a shock to me, just seeing everything flourish. And the power of manifestation when you actually put your thoughts, you know, to work.
Yeah. Let's just talk about that for a minute. You said there was a technique that you learned in prison. Let's just put a comma right there. But I do remember you mentioning that you read the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes. I definitely keep that book close to me. Yes, I have, by Stephen Covey.
Yeah. I read it too, and it was one of the most transformative books in my life, man, along with Think and Grow Rich. I mean, I read that when I was in college. Definitely. Years ago.
Yeah, it just opened my eyes up to different ways of seeing things. I mean, when it comes to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, even parenting, yeah. You know, just a different approach on handling a situation.
Yeah.
And it has these pieces of psychology in there because you know, a lot of it comes from that background when you're making an adjustment. It's like a psychological thing that you gotta, you know, trick yourself out of a habit that you've been used to and, you know, try to form a new one with whoever you're dealing with.
Man, you're right. And I think you were doing a some kind of rehearsing that book on Facebook. I think you were taking pieces of it.
Oh yeah, I do a morning mental maintenance. A lot of mornings where I just feel myself reading passages from scriptures that I find interesting or that's, you know, motivate me or inspire me?
Well, you know, I have it on my radio station, and we've been blessed, man. I'm doing a reading circle.
Where, oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have several individuals from different parts of the country. I usually don't do any more than five people, but they live in different parts of the country, Arizona, Connecticut, other places. And we choose a book and we read a chapter a week, and then we come on the station and we discuss it. It's tremendous because you never end up where you start. Everybody brings their own personal experiences to the text, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It gives you different perspectives on things, too.
Without a doubt, man.
Or just reading the text, you know?
Absolutely, man. And I certainly would like you to jump on one time. We can use that book.
I would love it.
7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Get 4 or 5 other people and, you know, share it with the world because people out there need that. I think that fundamentally and foundationally, our people in particular need to know how to, you know, organize their lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, we
got to start from the beginning. It's a lot of unlearning and relearning that we have to do. But that's definitely a great start.
Yeah.
Even with the school curriculums, he makes a lot of points in there about, you know, the way the curriculum that he has designed for schools. It's a lot of schools across the country now, but yeah, just a different approach to learning.
Yes, it is. It really
and teaching,
is.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. We have to change how people think and in what they believe in order to change behavior.
And we have to encourage them to think, you know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of just giving them,
yeah,
you know, telling them what it is, encourage them to research themselves, you know what I mean?
That's right, yeah. I love it, man. I love it. That's what the Reading Circle is designed to do, man. Instead of preaching and teaching individuals, get them engaged in the subject matter so that they can come and discuss it and own it rather than being told what to do, you know?
Yeah, because you don't want to be forcing somebody to do something. You want it to be, you know, something that they're into. They're interested in.
Yeah.
So
when you came out and you begin living life again, readjusting yourself, you began to move in the direction of theater.
Yeah.
Now, had you written a script for the project that you're doing right now in prison, or did that come about after you got out?
No, that was an idea in prison. I did come up with the idea in prison, and when I was transferring to a halfway house, I did perform at what we had something. It was a talent show, and I did I tried it out, but it was nothing like the show that I'm doing now. But I attempted to do it, and I just got some ideas from the initial one that I did in prison. And then when I came home, there was the opportunity that opened. I was working with a theater group, and they had a show that they planned on doing, but they canceled. So I found out that date was open, and I just, within that month and a half, I just, you know, elaborated on the idea that I had from the past.
Well, tell me the process, man. What's the idea? What's the name of your production again?
The name of it is Life is What You Make It.
Life is What You Make It. I missed the last show that you did in Plainfield, but
yeah,
I do plan
man.
To be.
It was amazing. We had an overwhelming turnout. It exceeded our expectations.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah, we packed the house and there was no more seats left.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good sign, man. That's great. Yeah, now what was the process? This is the one that you were working on, right? What was the process in developing the script?
It was basically breaking down different experiences that I went through in prison.
Okay.
I just had to think of different experiences that, you know, may elicit emotion, that were funny, sad, and figuring out how to design it in a way that it could be a play and a one-man show. You know, I'm a big fan of Robert, I think it's Governor Smith. He did Huey P. Newton live on stage one time, one-man show. He also did Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
If you get a chance to check those out on YouTube, you just put Robert Smith and one-man show,
okay,
they'll pop up.
Very good.
He does he definitely inspired me for doing this show.
Dynamite, man. Very good. Now tell me, and let's tell the audience, what were the rudiments of the process? So you have the script that you really want to put on. Now, did you get a group together? Did you tell me how that went, the actual production process?
Yeah, the production process, I want to make it seem like it was very minimal, really. I bought a bunk bed to resemble the prison, and it was more mental than everything. We made it a red carpet event. There was pictures you could take there. People took pictures home for free. But the production side, it's just more mental preparation of getting into, you know, the mentality that I had when I was in jail, or the emotional state I was in when I was in jail.
Okay.
To be able to relay that to the audience. But I guess the most preparation was researching the things about the system that I found were flawed.
Wow. Okay.
Because that's a major part of my show, is the information that I've discovered in the system that we miss out on, that we don't even know what's being done to us.
Wow.
It's a lot of it's manipulation. Uh-huh. And it's actually devilish, if you ask me.
Yeah.
For example, have you heard of a straw man before?
A straw man?
Yeah, it's a fictional character or entity. It's pretty much similar to your LLC. You give your LLC a name, uh-huh, and you call it whatever you want to call it. That's your straw man name.
Okay.
And when you get mail in your business name, it's always in capital letters because it's not a real person.
Okay.
It's a fictional entity. Well, when you get letters from the courts, it also comes in all capital letters for a certain reason. And we get into that, into the play. It's a fictional entity. They're not really charging you, the human being, because a government entity can only charge a corporation. It's deep, but yeah, we get into all that.
Wow.
So yeah, man, it's a very, very informative play, and it's awakening people along with what's going on in our news and world today.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what we're going through with you know, the Kanyes and the Kyries and things like that.
Yeah, that's great, man. I love it. I love it when we you know, when we can get under the you know, just beneath the scene,
surface,
you know,
yeah,
in order,
yeah,
to
we can get up underneath the surface,
yeah,
and dig into the root of what's going on, because that's the only way we're going to be able to make a change for the future.
Right.
If we go back to the root and find out, you know, how we got where we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, I believe too, Mike, that's one of my giftings too. And I'm not being bodacious. I believe that, you know, hidden truth, mm-hmm, once revealed, is transformative in nature.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
It causes an epiphany, it causes a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And that's where change begins to take place, man. So
a lot of things aren't even hidden anymore. Like the war on drugs, like,
yeah,
we realize what was going on now. We realized that this was an attack on poverty stricken communities like mine and yours.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not a secret anymore. So, you know, other things that I have found are being resurfaced and you know, being put out there, like, yeah, it's time to talk about what's really going on so we can move forward.
As much as we see the negativity promulgated around Kyrie Irving and Kanye, mm-hmm, West,
mm-hmm,
man, we see so much dynamics in those guys in terms of them revealing what is going on. And being man enough to stand up against all of the negativity that goes around.
Oh man, that takes a powerful individual. You know, we haven't had nothing like that since we seen Muhammad Ali and the Jim Browns in those days.
And if we're really going to make a change, because it's going to come around to us where we're going to have to make decisions like that, to stand up for definitely. What we believe. And the question is, will our knees buckle? But, the beautiful thing about it is that you have found theater in order to get the truth out there. And, you know, I resonate with that because I do the same. I'm in the same mentality that you're in. I don't think there's any better way to use, to get truth out.
We're needed out here. The youth are watching. You know, we have jobs to do. A lot of the older folks, you know, they may not jump on it, but we got examples to set, you know, for the youth.
That's right.
We got to do our jobs, man.
And there's no better way, Mike, as I mentioned, and as you know, to get it out there than to do it through theater.
You
know, preaching is okay, teaching is good, but you break down barriers. When a person sits in front of a play, they may come into that theater with preconceptions, their guards may be up, but as that play begins to unfold, their guards are coming down without them even knowing that it's coming down.
And then, say it again. Yeah. I had a couple people tell me that they cried at my play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like that alone, the way that was coming at me, it was like, oh man, it's some alignment going on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you get the truth out in story form, man, and I love it. So you are you packed out your first play, and I know that inspired you to no end.
Definitely. We're gonna go to Ducray now. It's also in Plainfield, which is almost 250 seat at Ducray. The last one was 130 seater. So
this is
intimidating, but we're gonna go out here with the best mindset and make it happen.
Yeah, that's good, man. So let me ask you, I noticed that on Facebook, you were building the set yourself, right? You were building the cart.
I did everything from get the flyers to the set to, you know, everything was myself.
Yeah. I noticed that. Even setting up the chairs in the auditorium.
Yeah, even setting up the chairs in the auditorium, man. Like, Once the day came, I definitely grateful for the people that did assist me, because I couldn't do it all myself on the day of when I'm actually supposed to be performing too. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it got a little hectic within the hour before the show. Things were getting a little twisted, but I definitely had family members and people that I consider family members come through and hold me down and help me make sure, nobody else came in, because it was too many people. We had to find some chairs. They found chairs, got everybody settled down. We had a good time.
But you know what it says about you? You know, sometimes people are held back from realizing their dream because they're waiting for others to come and help them or come and finance and all that other kind of stuff.
I think that is the main problem. We're always expecting for somebody else to help us, and I have a very huge problem with that. When people sit around, like I don't even understand it, you know what I mean? And to a degree where it's detrimental to me, because you have family members who may be going through something, and when somebody operates like that, it's obviously they're going through something mental, but I don't even understand when somebody can, be expecting somebody to help them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not anybody's jobs but yours. Yeah, nobody is going to care about whatever it is you have going on in life the way you care about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to at least lead the way. You got to spark the match to get the rest of the fire burning behind you.
Absolutely, man. That's I have to commend you for that, because, again, I'm watching you. I see you building the stage, the bed, and I see you do. And the only reason why is because I'm in theater too, and I know how it is.
You understand?
Is. Oh, do I understand, man?
The pieces.
Yeah, the pieces involved, and if you wait on others, it's not going to happen. I have a global radio station. I had no inkling about technology. and mm-hmm. I'm waiting for people to help me. People are not going to volunteer for nothing anymore.
Yeah, no,
you
know,
if you don't have some money in your pocket, you're insulting them.
You're going to look at you crazy,
them.
Man.
Yeah, you're insulting them.
I was in the same position.
Yeah, you insult people to ask them to do it for nothing because that they got to eat.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, definitely.
So if you're going to get it done, you got to roll up your sleeves. I had to learn technology myself, man, in order to
you
get this.
Pay, you got
to
pay people, know, money that you don't even have. That's I'm paying, right. like, I want, you know, I had a thing about having a camera crew there and filming my first, so I wanted the proper camera crew, and you ain't going to get the proper camera right. crew for a cheap price, that's you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. That's right, that's right, that's right.
You got to roll up your sleeves and get dirty and, you know, do whatever you got to do to get that money together to, yeah, man, it's work. And I definitely want to get that message out because a lot of people, you know, I've lost connection with some people because of those reasons, you know? It's like I'm focused on what I'm focused on and I'm not helping them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I'm willing to help anybody, you know, as long as you don't have that mentality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm willing to jump behind anybody I see, you know, trying to gain some momentum. I'm willing to help and push.
Absolutely.
But you can't expect somebody else to take what you have, you know, and put your energy behind their.
Yeah.
But life just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, man. It doesn't. But, you know, though, I do believe, though, that there, you see, everybody's not a dreamer, Michael. Everybody does not come up with ideas and dream. Some people are dreamers and were born to dream and create. Others are followers. And you have people who are gifted followers, people who came to the planet to assist people like yourself and like me to make our dreams come true. And they get as much satisfaction out of doing that. But those people are you know, hard to find, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn to accept that, you know, the fact that, you know, some people are gifted to follow.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And that's what they're. So, you know, like I said, to a default, you know, I have to deal with that, and I'm learning every day. I'm trying to learn more and more. You know, it's a day by day process.
Yeah, but you know what happens is that people don't follow until they see your dream becoming a reality. In other words, they're not going to come with your dream on paper. They want to see it actually coming to materializing, and then they'll get on board to help. But you are now planning another show in December.
Yes, December 17th at Ducray School of Art.
Okay, all right. Now it's going to be the same show, right?
Yes, same show, but it's going to be. I want to apologize to my viewers that came to see the first show. They have no idea, but they were missing pieces of the show. Like I said, luckily the viewer never knows, but we had some valuable pieces of the show that couldn't take place because we didn't have the proper equipment in place.
Yeah.
So, we're bringing it back December 17th, and we're going to enhance the performance that we put on in October.
Well, you know, Michael, I have a lot of equipment, you know, in storage. I have microphones, I have cordless mics, man.
That was one thing we didn't even have. I'm telling you, everything that could have went wrong, it seemed like everything that could have went wrong on a day of, I ordered some mics, and I'm glad you speak about that now because I still haven't received these mics. I ordered some lavalier mics and I still haven't received them. So yeah, man. If in any way, you know, we definitely would appreciate any way you could
You know, you need to know that we are cut from the same cloth.
Yes, sir.
And you know, yes, I have lighting.
I can tell you just by you doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah, you know, I have lighting. I have a projector. I have screen. I have
We were missing. We were missing the projector, and the projector was a major part of the intro and the outro, which is about, it's about like 10 minutes total. But
yeah.
So, definitely we could, I'm glad, You've been a blessing from all angles, man. You really have, and I appreciate you, you know, making the offer. And I'm definitely gonna take you up on it, and we'll talk later about that.
Yeah, we're in the battle together, man. We really are. We gotta.
If we all support each other, I'm telling you, we all need. We don't need the big force that we keep trying to go beg to. A beg for a seat at their table. Yeah. Like, we don't need them. All we need is us together to make our own.
Yeah.
Like, even with this NBA thing, man, it's so crazy how we could just take our power back with just a few of us in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't the majority. If we just stepped down and just went to Ice Cube and said, look, we playing ball over here. We're not doing that no more.
Yeah.
And Ice Cube's the owner. If you want to bring your cameras in here, you want to make money off this, you got to talk to Ice Cube.
Yeah.
We'd have so much power just overnight.
I know. The problem is that we don't want to work together in a unified way.
And we don't want to downgrade, because in order for us to upgrade, taking that avenue, we would have to downgrade first. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
We would have to downgrade our lifestyles, because we're not accepting that money no more. We're creating our own.
That's
and it's going to take a minute for the transfer.
You better
but
believe it.
The power, the economic power we have would be so worth it.
Yeah. And, you know, for our children in particular, we lay the foundation and build a structure, you know, for them to be blessed and carry on.
Definitely. With just the NBA alone, that's just one. That's just basketball.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. And then you got the entertainment industry, you know?
That doesn't even, like, if we just we all got to get the right mind, you know, it's the right mindset first, and then we can I think we're waking up, though.
Yeah, I pray to God.
I'm loving to see the momentum that we're getting. I'm loving to see the youth interested in the history that I wasn't interested in, because it wasn't about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, tell me, who was your inspiration, man? Your role model or pivotal person in your life? Either somebody that you've seen in the movies or theater?
Yeah.
Who was your inspiration or somebody influenced you to do what you're doing now?
My inspiration to do what I'm doing now. I've watched this is a guy from London, Giviah Joseph. He's on a couple of shows on Tyler Perry's set now. A couple of shows on BT. It's two shows. And they're at the same time. But anyway, he's definitely been an inspiration just to see somebody, from the state I'm from. And I actually, you know, sparred with him plenty of times in classes, you know, acting as an acting form, and see him excel to, you know, what he's doing. He's actually living his dream, you know, and to see him get killed by Ghost. Ghost killed him in Power, you know. When Ghost was locked up, it's just a motivation to see him, you know, striving, sticking to his guns, no days off, and it's paying off.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and just to, for, it's not just in acting, like his body transformation, just to like see where he came from as, you know, you could tell it was a corporate job, you know, pudgy guy to this action figure looking person who's, you know, living his dreams right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see.
That's
been very inspirational to me.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad. Did you ever get the book by Tyler Perry? I think I might have mentioned it to you sometime
ago. No, I didn't.
Oh,
I
yeah. Didn't. Yeah, please. I beg you, man. I'm on my
knees. I'm going to get that right now.
I'm on my knees right now, man.
Yeah.
And I say that figuratively, but you got to get it. Never Would Have Made It by Melvin Childs. It's the life of Tyler Perry, Melvin Childs.
Okay.
Was the first individual that plunged Tyler Perry into greatness. And he's not appreciated for what he did foundationally in the Tyler Perry story.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he puts it together. So if you really want to understand the industry in terms of being able to tour the Chitlin circuit, and this guy gets into the nitty gritty of it, man. And I think it would be a tremendously inspirational piece of work for you to, you know, look at.
I just added it to my cart.
Yeah.
Man, that's powerful. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of Tyler Perry and you know what he's done for Black Hollywood. Period. Yeah, like he's really cracked. I've watched people get employed at a higher rate in this industry just because he cracked the doors open. You know.
Yeah. Well, he started just like you're starting right now, man. So
you
starting just like you're starting right now, my brother. And look at yourself 10, 15 years from now, 10 years from now, another Tyler Perry, man. So you're doing the right things. You're not letting what you don't have stop you. You know, whatever roadblocks or walls are there, you're knocking them down and you're doing it by yourself. You're going to make believers out of people, brother.
Yeah, man. That's what I strive to do, man. Yeah. Like, I just want to share my experience open to, inspire somebody down the line, man.
Yeah.
We need it, man.
We do, man.
I need it myself.
Yeah, I know.
Like, stuff. Like, we could talk about all the bubbly, but, you know, once you turn the mics off, we got to go back to dealing with, you know, the other half.
Yeah.
You know, it gets rough, so.
I know. You know. We have to think out of the box. We want to inspire and that's what we want to do, but you got to have one hand, your fist on your dream, but you got to have the other hand with a checkbook in your hand. Because you gotta have that money, man.
You gotta have the money.
And that's gotta be
it's part of the game. If you're gonna play it, you're gonna need it.
That's right. Because see what happens, I tell you from experience, what happens, man, is that we start out with a dream. And the dream is big, it's bigger than we are. And we're lucky, I won't say lucky, blessed to get a hold of some money to get you started. And what happens to get you started, you're able to hire some individuals. But it's never enough because in the middle of the process, you run out of money. Mm-hmm. You have to abort the dream and you disappoint the people who came in, to help you. So we got to put a lot of emphasis on the money aspect of it. So we have enough not to run out and disappoint people. So, but that comes in the process of things, you know.
That's a great point, though.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I mean, I've went through that struggle with my first play, too, having investors come to me, come to me and then falling through, getting your hopes at a certain point, and then you drop back down to remembering that. Nobody's coming to help. It's all on you.
That's right, man.
Even if they say they're coming to help, don't even think about them coming to help. Yeah. It's all on you, man.
That's right, man. That's so true. So true. So listen, Doc, we're in the same business, and I'm going to relaunch my production again. I was talking with a few people. I want to do some off-Broadway shows.
Yes,
but I want a celebrity actor, and that's the goal that I'm getting. I want to be able to feel, off Broadway is 1 to 99 seats.
Yeah,
off Broadway is 100 to 499 seats.
Okay,
and then Broadway is anything over 500. A seating capacity. I want to start out with an off Broadway production at seats 499 people. I want to utilize whatever it's going to take, internet promotion or whatever, to be able to fill up a auditorium with 499 seats be able to do it and get it down to a science, right? Where I know that I'm going to fill these seats up. Then once I'm able to do that, then I'll take the Broadway 500 seats or more. But you gotta see the thing that Tyler Perry did, and he was failing in everything that he did in terms of filling up auditoriums. Man, he would get 30 people to show up, man, and all of that. But the thing that plunged him into greatness was he was able to get two celebrity actors, and he was able to invest $45 in advertising. $45,000 in advertising.
Oh yeah, that's major. I've been sitting here trying to figure out how I'm going to do this out of state because that's my plan to take this on tour. Yeah. But I was trying to figure out how do I spark the interest in anybody, period, coming. But yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, and that's what he did. He was able to get two celebrity actors in Atlanta. The Sound of Blackness was a singing group that was very, very popular back in his day in Atlanta. Yeah. So he got two of those actors. And what happened, Melvin Childs found him. Melvin Childs went to one of his performances, was disappointed by the small showing of people, but he liked what he saw, and he went back and raised $100,000. And the $100,000, used $45,000 of that to do the promotion, and the other to pay the actors. And they packed out an auditorium. I think it was 4,000 people, man, in Atlanta that came to his next show with the celebrity actors that drew the people and the advertising. The next was history, man. But you'll read all about that in Tyler's, and not Tyler's book, but it's Melvin Childs that wrote the book.
About Tyler Perry.
Yep.
I just ordered it while we were on the phone.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good. Well, listen, man, we could talk from now until the end of the world.
It's always love, Dan. It's always a pleasure, man.
Yeah. But listen, let not this be the last time we get on.
Of course not.
You know, we can catalog the show after this one and your footsteps after going to the next one.
Yeah, definitely, because we looking to book more venues right after this one. Like, we try and do venues back to back. Like I said, we try to take this thing on tour. That's what I'm going to do.
That's good. That's good.
I already put it in the atmosphere. So definitely. We need to make this something we do more often. We got something in the future in the works. I don't know what it is, but you know, us being in the same field, I believe we got something in the future.
Absolutely. And listen, I want to follow up on this 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Definitely. I would love to be, that book group. I'm with that, reading, 100%.
Yeah, Reading Circle. I follow up, man.
Please do.
So I'll be touching base with you to get that going very soon, within the next week or two.
All right, I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Michael Mitchell.
Mr. Holt, I appreciate you so much.
Call me Princeton, man.
Charge my battery for the day.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Much thank you for that.
Yeah, whenever you need a shoulder to lean on or run some ideas through, I'm here for you, buddy.
All right, now. Okay. Make sure you answer the phone when I call out, all right? Like, you don't know me.
Man, what you talk about?
All right, I'll be calling you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks again, man, for taking the time out to share with our audience your experience. And again, I say we'll do it again. And
my
Michael,
pleasure.
God has brought us together for such a time as this.
Peace, blessings, and opportunity every day.
Yeah, okay. You take good care until we meet again, my friend.
One love.
Bye-bye.